إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله As we witness the atrocities happening in Gaza and the blindness of the world to them, it becomes important for a person to recognize and realize what victory actually looks like for a believer. We see that there are over 13,000 people that have lost their lives, perhaps much more than this injured, and over a million people displaced. And we see this calamity seeming to be getting worse and worse and worse. When we look at this particular situation of our brothers and sisters in Gaza, it becomes important for a Muslim to conceptualize what victory actually looks like. Because a person might become confused, a person might become confounded when they hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, words of promise, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ Do not grieve, do not despair, you will be victorious if you have iman. If you have belief, then you will be victorious. And a person, they might ask, what type of victory is dead children? What type of victory is a city that has been eviscerated? What type of victory is a city that has been starved of food and water? What type of victory is the ignorance, not ignorance, but rather the knowledge that they know that all of these atrocities are happening and still they turn the entire world, especially the powers that have the ability to stop this, turn a blind eye. When we look at all of this, we need to go back to what victory means. Let us go back to the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for 950 years and his people rejected him. And thereafter he made a dua. قَالَ نُوحُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلِ الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا Nuh alayhi salam, he used that dua that every prophet gets and he made that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not leave any disobeying or disbeliever as an inhabitant on this planet. And you could say that that was a type of victory after a lot of years of struggle. When we look at Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran the story of Musa alayhi salam and his struggle with Fir'aun. And when he leads the people of Bani Israel across the Red Sea, and wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ The famous story that we all know, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned Fir'aun and his army and saved Musa alayhi salam, that you could be seen as a type of victory. When we look at Isa alayhi salam, even though there were those that killed him, or they thought they killed him, we don't believe this as Muslims, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ But those people that thought that they killed him, or even those that took him as a god, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when Isa alayhi salam comes back, وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ That there will be no person from Ahlul Kitab, from the Jews or the Christians, those that sought to kill him, or those that also tried to turn him into a God, except that they will believe in him as a prophet. When you go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you see his victory, inna fatahna laka fatha mubina. After those 23 years of struggle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within 30 years makes it such that Islam is the dominant civilization on the planet. And we see the victory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In today's khutbah, we'll talk about a different type of victory. A type of victory that sometimes you don't conceptualize or think about. Because for a person thinking from a second secular standpoint, death is the ultimate defeat. Death is the ultimate defeat. When a person is dead, then that is it. And how can there be any sense of victory after that point? We will discuss in today's khutbah the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah al-Buruj the story of the people of the trench. Qutila Ashab al-Ukhdud. Cursed were the people of the trench. Now, who were the people of the trench? It is mentioned that around 40 to 70 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, in the Himyar kingdom in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula in Yemen, that there was a person by the name of Dhun Nawas. And the Mufassirun, they differ as to the religion of Dhun Nawas. The majority of them, they say he was Jewish. Some of them, they say that he was a mushrik, like Ibn Kathir, a person that would have been a polytheist. Nonetheless, he was a person. He was a person that was a ruler and in that particular area, and he was a tyrant. It is mentioned about Dhun Nawas that when he was in his particular kingdom, a story mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, wherein there was a king being Dhun Nawas, and there was a sahir, a magician, and also a young boy. In this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he elucidates this lengthy story of Ashab al-Ukhdud. It's mentioned that Dhun Nawas, this particular leader at the time, he had a magician that he would use to cure the blind, to heal the sick. And this person used to deal with the jinn. So it is mentioned that this magician came to Dhun Nawas, and he told Dhun Nawas that, "I am getting old, I need a disciple that I can be able to teach my craft to, so that when I am no longer around, he can take over and be from those that continues this tradition of sihr or magic, which is haram in Islam." And they would use this to cure the blind and the sick and those that had particular illnesses. So the king, he goes and he finds a bright young boy. And this bright young boy, he is tasked with learning from this sahir, from this magician. And it just so happened that one day, on his way to the sahir, he finds himself stopped, or he sees a person on the road, a rahib, a monk that was a Christian monk at the time. And when we understand that in the time of the Fatra, between prophets, what would have been the correct religion before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived on the scene? It would have been those that believed in Isa alayhi salam as a prophet, and they continued along with his traditions, the Muwahidun from among the Christians. Those that believed in Tawheed from among the Christians. Not those that after the year 325 in the Council of Nicaea, then they both started to believe in the Trinity, but those that stayed firm to the fact of the true message of Isa alayhi salam. So this monk who was on the road, he was from among those Christians. And when this boy sat next to this monk on the side of the road, he became impressed by what he was hearing. And every day he would listen to this monk, and thereafter he would go to the sahir, to the magician. One day it happened that the sahir, the magician, he got angry and he beat up this kid for being late. So he complained to the rahib, he complained to the monk. And the monk told him that if the sahir asks you why you are late, tell him, "My family delayed me. And on the way back, come back to me and learn from me again. And if your family asks you why you are late, tell them the sahir delayed me." So this kid, he would learn from the monk and he would learn from the sahir simultaneously. He would learn from the monk in the early part of the day, then he would learn from the sahir, then he would go back to the monk, and then he would go back to his family. It happened that one day, there was an animal that was released in the town that they were in. An animal, perhaps a lion, perhaps a leopard, perhaps a bull, but this animal was causing a lot of havoc in and around that particular town. And at this, the boy, he made a dua. He said, "Allahumma in kana amru rahib ahabba ilayka min amr sahir, faqtul hadhihi dabba, faqtul hadhihi dabba." So this boy, he made this dua that, "Oh Allah, if the religion of the rahib, of the monk, is more beloved to you than the religion of the sahir, of the magician, then kill this animal." And he took a rock and he threw it at this animal, and the animal died. He conveyed this message to the monk, the rahib. And the monk, he told him something very interesting that we need to always remember. He said, the monk told this boy that you have attained a high rank. You have surpassed me in your piety. And because this has happened, you will definitely be tested. And that is something we need to understand as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in some ahadith. For example, he says, "Ashaddu an-nas bala'an al-anbiya ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Those that are tested the most are the prophets, and then those closest to them, and those closest to them. So when you look at the people of Gaza, we might see them as being physically destroyed, they're being physically attacked. But spiritually they are alive. Perhaps physically they are dead, but spiritually they are alive. And we contrast that to us, wherein we have everything, and still sometimes we have a negative opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are physically alive, but spiritually dead. Those people in Gaza, many of them you see in the videos, non-Muslims are impressed by their faith, that despite everything, they still say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. They still believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still have a sense of optimism after all of this. And those people that are being tested in this way, they have a status that us living here in safety and security can never attain. Because those closest to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are those that are the most severely tested. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. And then those lesser, and then those lesser. So we see in this particular story, this is what the monk, he tells this boy. He also tells him that if you are told to release my name, expose who I am, do not do so. It just so happened that sometime later, a companion of Dhun-Nawas, a companion of the king, he was one that was blind and he wanted cure from this. So the king, he instructed him to go to this boy. And this companion of the king brought a lot of gifts for the boy. And he said that if you cure my blindness, all of these gifts are yours. This boy, he says that I do not cure, but my Lord cures. And if you believe in my Lord, I will make dua to him that he cures you. And this man, this companion of the king, he agrees. And this boy, he makes dua, and this man, he is cured. The king then confronts this particular man, and he says that, who has cured you? This man, he said, Rabbi, my Lord. The king, Dhun-Nawas, then says, meaning me, and then this man, he says, no, my Lord and your Lord, who is Allah. This upsets and angers the king, and he decides to torture this companion that he had. He tortures him and wants him to release the name of the person that told him this. Under duress, this man, he releases the name of the boy, and then the boy is brought, and then the boy is questioned as well, that who is your Lord? Is it me? This man, he says, no, your Lord and my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The king gets angered by this, and then he decides to torture this boy as well, wanting him to reveal the name of the one that taught him all of this. And under duress, under this torture, the boy cannot hold himself, and he releases the name of the monk. The monk, the rahib, is then brought, and he is asked to renounce his religion. He is asked to renounce his religion, but he refuses to do so. So Isa is brought, and this monk, this rahib, he is cut in half. Thereafter, the companion of the king is asked the same question. He is told that you see what happened to this monk, you renounce your religion, he refuses to do so, the saw is brought, and this person is also cut in half. Thereafter, the king turns to the boy. Dhun-Nawas, he turns to the boy, and he tells this boy, renounce your religion, he refuses. So he takes this boy to a tall cliff, to a high cliff, and he tells his soldiers to push him off. The soldiers, when they take this boy to this cliff, and they attempt to push him off, this boy, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that suffice me against these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that those that are on top of this cliff, they fall down, and the boy is saved through this dua. He walks back to the king, and the king is astonished by this, and he makes a second attempt at murdering him. And he tells his soldiers, another group of soldiers, because the soldiers were disposable, he tells this group of soldiers, take him to a lake and dump him overboard. Throw him overboard. And again, this boy, when he is on this boat, he makes a dua. Those that were on the boat with him, from the soldiers, they fall overboard. He is saved, and he goes back to the king. And then he tells the king something. There is only one way that you will be able to kill me. And the king, he asks him, how is this? It is mentioned to him that you need to call all of the inhabitants of this town, of the Himyar kingdom in the southern Arabian Peninsula. Call them all to a town, 20,000 of them. And bring them to this square and tie me to a tree trunk. And then take a bow, and before you shoot, say Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy, and shoot. So this king, he does exactly this. He says Bismillahi Rabbil Ghulam, he shoots, and the boy passes away. Those 20,000 people that were around, when they witnessed this particular event, all of them, they embraced Islam. They embraced the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this angered the king. Now we learn something else from here as well. This boy, he sacrificed himself for the sake of da'wah. And subhanAllah, we see with all of the atrocities happening in Gaza, how many non-Muslims, when they look into this, and they see the faith and the steadfastness of those Muslims in Gaza, how many of them embraced Islam in the same way that we see in this particular story. And that is a type of victory that sometimes we forget about. When people were ignorant about Palestine, when people were ignorant about the Quran, and then they see these videos, and they see the faith of the Muslimin that are not willing to give up their religion. They are living in the land of al-ribat, in the land of in the land in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is a land that should be protected, a land that is honored, ardul muqaddasa, and they do not wish to give up that land, and they protect it in the way that they are, and they still have firm faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they see this, this impresses them. And when they become Muslim, then this is a type of victory for Islam sometimes we do not even conceive. As the story goes further, it is mentioned that Dhun Nawas, now he decided to construct a trench. And that is mentioned in Surah Al-Buruj. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. Cursed are the people of a trench. النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ. In this trench, it is mentioned that there was fuel and fire. He lit up this trench with fuel and fire. إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ. And they were sitting thereby. And subhanAllah, this is a reminder for us and also for the leaders. إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ. And what is happening to the believers, they were witness to all of this. All of those leaders are seeing the same videos we have seen. All of the leaders are seeing the same lies that we have seen. All of the leaders are seeing the same atrocities we are seeing. And when they have that power and they're sitting on the sidelines and they're witness to all of this, this will be a proof against them on the Day of Judgment. And also it's a reminder for us to not be from those that are sitting on the sideline. إِذْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ. Do not be from among those, but at the very least feel what is happening in your heart. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُدْوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ السَّائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهْرِ وَالْحُمَّى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us the parable of a believer to another believer in terms of their love, in terms of their compassion, in terms of their kindness is like that of a body. That when one part of it is hurt, the rest of the body is sleepless, cannot go to sleep and in a state of fever. If you find yourself like this, that you are different from October 7th till now, you cannot sleep and it is the only thing on your mind, you cannot enjoy your hobbies, then this is a sign of your iman. And if you do not feel this way, then you are from those that has a lacking of their iman. Do not be from one of those that is sitting on the sideline, but do whatever you can in whatever capacity you are able to do so to help the people of Palestine, because this will be a proof for you and not against you on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on. And he goes on to say something else as well. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, those that test and try the believers. And the word fitna can also mean to burn. يَوْمَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Those that are burned in the trench, those that are burned by missiles, when a people are doing this towards the believers, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا, and then they do not repent, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ, for them is the punishment of Jahannam and a severe burning punishment that they will all receive. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers, and by the way, there is one person in the story, one lady in this story that is mentioned in the hadith as well. It is mentioned about her that as these 20,000 people were being forced into the trench, they all went in. They were not even hesitating because they did not want to give up their religion. But this one lady, this one sister, she hesitated for a second, and her infant spoke. She had an infant with her, and that is one of those infants that spoke in infancy like Isa alayhi salam. And she goes on to say, اصبري يا أمة فإنك على الحق. Be patient, my mother, for you are upon the truth. And she went in and she fell into this particular trench as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He discusses the believer, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. And that is the part and important lesson of today's khutbah. That is the important lesson of today's khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the believers, they will have gardens beneath which rivers flow. And He mentions about them the fact that they did not give up their religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them, even if they were to lose their life, that can still be a type of victory. And that is something that we need to remember. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. That is the great victory. Those particular people, irrespective of their circumstance, they hold the religion of Islam. Contrast that to us. Sometimes we become people that, because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested us with our finances, with our relationships, with our health, we decide we don't want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember one fact, that if you don't worship Allah, the only person it harms is yourself. As Musa alayhi salam, he tells his people, إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. If you decide to disobey Allah, and all mankind decides to do the same, Allah is independent, He is not in need of any of your worship. Be one that has a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of your circumstance, and that will grant you success, like the people of Gaza that are not willing to give up their faith. That is a type of victory sometimes we do not perceive. They are people whose hearts are alive, even though their hearts physically are dead. And we are people whose hearts are dead, even though physically we are alive. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in a hadith that لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. None of you should pass away except that you think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have husnul dhan of your Creator. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions this 3 days before he passed away. We also see that sometimes within our own life, there might be situations in which you held fast to Islam and we're hoping for victory in this dunya, but it does not come. But as long as we held on to the traditions and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. Let us mention some examples. Let's say, for example, a person, he wants to purchase a house as all of us would wish to. But this person, he fears falling into riba. And we're not talking about the hukum itself. Many of the scholars have said it's haram. Many of them, they said it's allowed with certain conditions to buy a house with mortgage. Nonetheless, let's say a person is practicing the quality of al-wara, of cautious piety, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, even this will grant you reward. You're fearing to go into haram, even if it is halal, but you fear it and you decide not to do it, this will grant you reward. What is the proof of this? The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُجْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in this hadith, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَالْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ. Halal is clear, haram is clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. And between them, there are matters which are dubious. And if a person wishes to protect themselves and their deen, then they will stay away from these particular things, and that will grant them victory as well. So let's say, for example, a person, he does this, and he thinks to himself, Allah will grant me more. Because that is what we believe. If you stay away from haram, Allah will grant you more. So he tries to save his money in a halal way. And let's say, for example, he loses his job. Let's say, for example, the economy as we know today, everything becomes expensive. And he passes away without having ever purchased a house. In this life, people would consider him to be a loser. Maybe his friends bought one with interest, and they would consider him to be a loser, the one that did not have a house. But this person held on to something. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can, for example, also make it such that there's a court case between two people. Let's say, for example, and one of the parties was wrong, and the court sides with the wrong party, as happens in many situations. Let's say, for example, the court sides with the wrong party, and it might see that this person loses everything. But after all of this, he does not become angry. He does not lose his morality. He does not become angry. He does not act in revenge. And he dies in this way. From the perspective of this dunya, he's a loser. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He say? ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. It could also be in a situation in which a person has a bad reputation among his peers. He embraces Islam, he becomes a much better person, but they still remember him by these bad habits that he has. And he dies in this way, and the people remember him in a negative way. It might be that in the dunya, his reputation was destroyed. But as long as he turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he might not receive anything of good in this life, but he held on to his faith. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. It might be in many other situations that this particular scenario might occur. It might be that you're good to your friends and your colleagues, and especially if you are good to your family, and that family does not reciprocate any of that good, but you understand the virtue of it. When you pass away, they still insult you, but you are one that held on to what was right, even despite the fact that in this dunya, you got nothing out of it. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. And that is one point that we need to remember with respect to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, that is a type of victory. Holding on to the deen of Islam is a type of victory. Sometimes victory does not come in the form of military victory, even though we believe this will definitely happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. The Muslims will enter the masjid just as they did the first time. We believe this to be true, but as all of these atrocities are happening, let us remember the ultimate fact. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. We have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that the other party does not have hope in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims in Gaza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that understands what true victory actually looks like. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those that does our part in helping our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهد لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضلا وشرفا لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المجاهدين في غزة. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم وحد صفوف المسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك المشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء دين. اللهم أهلك اليهود كما هلكت عاد وثمود. ربنا آتهم ضعفين من العذاب ولعنهم لعنا كبيرا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله فيما يذكركم واشكروه على ما زدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.